Kusinara, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. At Kusinara. At one time the Buddha was staying near Kusinara in the forest of offerings. There the Buddha addressed the mendicants. "Mendicants?" "Venerable sir," they replied. The Buddha said this: "Mendicants, take the case of a mendicant living supported by a town or village. A householder or their child approaches and invites them for the next day's meal. The mendicant accepts if they want. When the night has passed, they robe up in the morning, take their bowl and robe, and approach that householder's home, where they sit on the seat spread out. The householder or their child serves and satisfies them with their own hands with a variety of delicious foods. The mendicant thinks, 'It's so good that this householder serves me with a variety of delicious foods.' Then they think, 'I really hope this householder serves me with a variety of delicious foods in the future too.' They eat that food, tied, infatuated, attached, blind to the drawbacks and not understanding the escape. They think about it with sensual, malicious, or cruel thoughts. A gift to such a mendicant is not very fruitful, I say. Why is that? Because that mendicant is negligent. Take another case of a mendicant living supported by a town or village. A householder or their child approaches and invites them for the next day's meal. The mendicant accepts if they want. When the night has passed, they robe up in the morning, take their bowl and robe and approach that householder's home, where they sit on the seat spread out. The householder or their child serves and satisfies them with their own hands with a variety of delicious foods. It never occurs to them, 'It's so good that the householder or their child serves and satisfies me with their own hands with a variety of delicious foods.' They don't think, 'I really hope this householder serves me with a variety of delicious foods in the future, too.' They eat that alms food untied, uninfatuated, unattached, seeing the drawback and understanding the escape. They think about it with thoughts of renunciation, goodwill, or harmlessness. A gift to such a mendicant is very fruitful, I say. Why is that? Because that mendicant is diligent. Arguments. Mendicants, I'm not even comfortable thinking about a place where mendicants argue, quarrelling and fighting, continually wounding each other with barbed words, let alone going there. I come to a conclusion about them. Clearly those venerables have given up three things and cultivated three things. What three things have they given up? Thoughts of renunciation, goodwill and harmlessness. What three things have they cultivated? Sensual, malicious, and cruel thoughts. I come to a conclusion about them. Clearly those venerables have given up three things and cultivated three things. I feel comfortable going to a place where the mendicants live in harmony, appreciating each other without quarrelling, blending like milk and water, and regarding each other with kindly eyes, let alone thinking about it. I come to a conclusion about them. Clearly those venerables have given up three things and cultivated three things. What three things have they given up? Sensual, malicious and cruel thoughts. What three things have they cultivated? Thoughts of renunciation, goodwill and harmlessness. I come to a conclusion about them. Clearly those venerables have given up three things and cultivated three things. The Gotamaka Shrine. At one time the Buddha was staying near Wesali at the Gotamaka tree shrine. There the Buddha addressed the mendicants. "Mendicants?" "Venerable sir," they replied. The Buddha said this: "Mendicants, I teach based on direct knowledge, not without direct knowledge. I teach with reasons, not without them. I teach with a demonstrable basis, not without it. Since this is so, you should follow my advice and instruction. This is enough for you to feel joyful, delighted, and happy. The Blessed One is a fully awakened Buddha. The teaching is well explained. The Sangha is practicing well. That is what the Buddha said. Satisfied, the mendicants were happy with what the Buddha said. And while this discourse was being spoken, the galaxy shook. Barandu Kalama. At one time the Buddha was wandering in the land of the Kosalans when he arrived at Kapalavattu. Mahanama, the Sakyan, heard that he had arrived. He went up to the Buddha, bowed and stood to one side. The Buddha said to him, "Go into Kapalavattu, Mahanama, and check if there's a suitable guest house where I can spend the night." "Yes, sir," replied Mahanama. He returned to Kapalavattu and searched all over the city, but he couldn't see a suitable guest house for the Buddha to spend the night. Then Mahanama went up to the Buddha and said to him, "Sir, there's no suitable guest house in Kapalavattu for you to spend the night. But there is this Barandu the Kalama, who used to be the Buddha's spiritual companion. Why don't you spend the night at his hermitage?" "Go, Mahanama, and set out a mat." "Yes, sir," replied Mahanama. He went to Barandu's hermitage, where he set out a mat and got foot-washing water ready. Then he went back to the Buddha and said to him, "The mat and foot-washing water are set out. Please, sir, go at your convenience." Then the Buddha went to Barandu's hermitage, sat down on the seat spread out, and washed his feet. Then it occurred to Mahanama, "It's too late to pay homage to the Buddha today. He's tired. Tomorrow I'll pay homage to the Buddha." He bowed to the Buddha and respectfully circled him, keeping him on his right. Then he left. Then, when the night had passed, Mahanama the Sakyan went up to the Buddha and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to him, "Mahanama, there are these three teachers found in the world." "What three?" "One teacher advocates the complete understanding of sensual pleasures, but not of sights or feelings. One teacher advocates the complete understanding of sensual pleasures and sights, but not of feelings. One teacher advocates the complete understanding of sensual pleasures, sights, and feelings. These are the three teachers found in the world. Do these three teachers have the same goal or different goals?" When he said this, Barandu said to Mahanama, "Say they're the same, Mahanama." The Buddha said, "Say they're different, Mahanama." For a second time, Barandu said, "Say they're the same, Mahanama." The Buddha said, "Say they're different, Mahanama." For a third time, Barandu said, "Say they're the same, Mahanama." The Buddha said, "Say they're different, Mahanama." Then it occurred to Barandu, "The Buddha has rebuked me three times in front of this illustrious Mahanama. Why don't I leave Kapalavattu?" Then Barandu the Kalama left Kapalavattu, never to return. Vithattaka. At one time the Buddha was staying near Sarvati in Jeta's Grove, an Atapindika's monastery. Then, late at night, the glorious god Hataka, lighting up the entire Jeta's Grove, went up to the Buddha, thinking, "I will stand before the Buddha." He sank and melted down and wasn't able to stay still. It's like when ghee or oil is poured on sand, it sinks and melts down and can't remain stable. Then the Buddha said to Hataka, "Hataka, manifest in a solid life form." "Yes, sir," replied Hataka. He manifested in a solid life form, bowed to the Buddha, and stood to one side. The Buddha said to him, "Hataka, I wonder whether you still rehearse now the teachings that you rehearsed when you were a human being." I still rehearse now the teachings that I rehearsed as a human being, and I also rehearse teachings that I didn't rehearse as a human being. Just as the Buddha these days lives crowded by monks, nuns, laymen and laywomen, by rulers and their ministers, and teachers of other paths and their disciples, so I live crowded by the gods. The gods come from far away thinking, "We'll hear the teaching in the presence of Hataka." Sir, I passed away without getting enough of three things. What three? Seeing the Buddha, hearing the true teaching, and serving the Sangha. I passed away without getting enough of these three things. I could never get enough of seeing the Buddha, serving the Sangha, or hearing the teaching. Training in the higher ethics, loving to hear the true teaching. Hataka has gone to the Awiha realm without getting enough of these three things. Bitter. At one time the Buddha was staying near Benares in the deer park at Isipatana. Then the Buddha robed up in the morning and, taking his bowl and robe, entered Benares for alms. While the Buddha was walking for alms near the cow-hitching place at the wavy leaf fig, he saw a disgruntled monk who was looking for pleasure in external things, unmindful, without situational awareness or immersion, with straying mind and undisciplined faculties. The Buddha said to him, "Monk, don't be bitter. If you're bitter, corrupted by carrion, flies will, without a doubt, plague and infest you." Hearing this advice of the Buddha, that monk was struck with a sense of urgency. Then, after the meal, on his return from alms round, the Buddha told the mendicants what had happened. When he said this, one of the mendicants asked the Buddha, "Sir, what is this bitterness? What is carrion? And what are the flies?" "Desire is bitterness. Ill will is the carrion. And bad, unskillful thoughts are the flies. If you're bitter, corrupted by carrion, flies will, without a doubt, plague and infest you. When your eyes and ears are unguarded and you're not restrained in your sense faculties, flies, those lustful thoughts, will plague you. A mendicant who's bitter, corrupted by carrion, is far from being extinguished. Anguish is their lot. Whether in village or wilderness, if they don't find serenity in themselves, the fool, void of wisdom, is honoured only by flies. But those who have ethics, lovers of wisdom and peace, they, being peaceful, sleep at ease since they've got rid of the flies." With Anuruddha first. Then Venerable Anuruddha went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side and said to him, "Sometimes, sir, with my clairvoyance that's purified and superhuman, I see that females, when their body breaks up after death, are mostly reborn in a place of loss, a bad place, the underworld, hell. How many qualities do females have so that they're reborn in a place of loss, a bad place, the underworld, hell?" "When females have three qualities, when their body breaks up after death, they are reborn in a place of loss, a bad place, the underworld, hell." "What three?" "A female lives at home with a heart full of the stain of stinginess in the morning, jealousy at midday, and sexual desire in the evening. When females have these three qualities, when their body breaks up after death, they are reborn in a place of loss, a bad place, the underworld, hell." With Anuruddha second. Then Venerable Anuruddha went up to Venerable Sariputta and exchanged greetings with him. When the greetings and polite conversation were over, he sat down to one side and said to him, "Here's the thing, Reverend Sariputta. With clairvoyance that is purified and surpasses the human, I survey the entire galaxy. My energy is roused up and unflagging. My mindfulness is established and lucid. My body is tranquil and undisturbed, and my mind is immersed in samadhi. But my mind is not freed from the defilements by not grasping.
Well, Reverend Anuruddha, when you say, with clairvoyance that is purified and surpasses the human, I survey the entire galaxy, that's your conceit. And when you say, my energy is roused up and unflagging, my mindfulness is established and lucid, my body is tranquil and undisturbed, and my mind is immersed in samadhi, that's your restlessness. And when you say, but my mind is not freed from the defilements by not grasping, that's your remorse. It would be good to give up these three things. Instead of focusing on them, apply your mind to the deathless. After some time, Anuruddha gave up these three things. Instead of focusing on them, he applied his mind to the deathless. Then Anuruddha, living alone, withdrawn, diligent, keen, and resolute, soon realized the supreme culmination of the spiritual path in this very life. He lived, having achieved with his own insight the goal for which gentlemen rightly go forth from the lay life to homelessness. He understood. Rebirth is ended. The spiritual journey has been completed. What had to be done has been done. There is no return to any state of existence. And Venerable Anuruddha became one of the perfected. Undercover. Mendicants, three things are conveyed undercover, not in the open. What three? Females are married with a veil, not unveiled. Brahmin hymns are conveyed undercover, not openly. Wrong view is conveyed undercover, not in the open. These three things are conveyed undercover, not in the open. Three things shine in the open, not undercover. What three? The moon shines in the open, not undercover. The sun shines in the open, not undercover. The teaching and training proclaimed by a realized one shine in the open, not undercover. These three things shine in the open, not undercover.
Etchings. Mendicants, these three people are found in the world. What three? A person like a line drawn in stone, a person like a line drawn in sand, and a person like a line drawn in water. And who is the person like a line drawn in stone? It's a person who is often angry, and their anger lingers for a long time. It's like a line drawn in stone, which isn't quickly worn away by wind and water, but lasts for a long time. In the same way, this person is often angry, and their anger lingers for a long time. This is called a person like a line drawn in stone. And who is the person like a line drawn in sand? It's a person who is often angry, but their anger doesn't linger long. It's like a line drawn in sand, which is quickly worn away by wind and water, and doesn't last long. In the same way, this person is often angry, but their anger doesn't linger long. This is called a person like a line drawn in sand. And who is the person like a line drawn in water? It's a person who, though spoken to by someone in a rough, harsh, and disagreeable manner, still stays in touch, interacts with, and greets them. It's like a line drawn in water, which vanishes right away and doesn't last long. In the same way, this person, though spoken to by someone in a rough, harsh, and disagreeable manner, still stays in touch, interacts with, and greets them. This is called a person like a line drawn in water. These are the three people found in the world.